More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, two roads diverged. Facing a big decision, not sure which path God wants you to take, we'll help you discover ways to get the clarity and confidence you need. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, two roads diverged. We're talking about those times when we've got to make a decision and we just don't know what to do. And whether that's a personal decision, trying to decide what to do about a relationship, dealing with a particular problem or opportunity for that matter, it's hard to know what the right thing to do is and what God wants us to do. Let us help you walk the steps that will enable you to discover the clarity and confidence you need. 877-573-7825.
And that, of course, becomes even harder when you have other people involved in the effects of whatever decision you make. You know, if you're a single person and you're just finding your way through life and you only have to decide how something is going to affect you, well, that's one thing. But if you suddenly have to start worrying about your spouse, your children, how does it affect them? How do we sort out things that might be good for us that might not be good for them? Then you add in things like obligations to senior members of your family, extended family, even friends you really want to be able to stay in touch with and make sure that you're satisfying those friendships, and then maybe some of those decisions become even a little bit more complicated. This can be very confusing and sometimes a little scary and frustrating.
Well, and that doesn't even include the fact that everybody has got an opinion about what you should do.
True.
So if you ask, when you ask for help, you get 30 different answers, and that just makes it even more complicated. So let us help you discover the steps that the church gives us for hearing God's voice more clearly and really knowing what He's calling us to. Obviously, Lisa and I aren't going to tell you what to do, but we can walk with you as you learn those steps that make it clearer what God is saying to you, what His will is for you, and you can get the confidence and clarity you need to make those decisions in front of you. 877-573-7825.
And we can talk to you about your particular situation and figure out how to apply these steps in your situation so we can sort out some of that stuff that may be causing extra confusion and help you focus. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you facing a decision right now? Then you're just really not sure what God wants and you're just a little more than a little nervous about picking the wrong thing. Maybe you've prayed and asked God for a clear sign, but you're just not getting anything. You know, maybe everybody in your life has an opinion about what you should do, and the more advice you get, the more paralyzed you feel, like I was saying. Or maybe it's not your decision at all. Maybe someone you love, you know, your teen, an adult child, a friend who's stuck at their own crossroads, and you don't know how to help them find their way. So however indecision is affecting you and your relationships, let us help you get the clarity and confidence you need to take that next step. 877-573-7825. And I will say, you know, the things that we're sharing with you today are things that Lisa and I use all the time, that over the years have really helped us hear God more clearly. And the thing that I think surprises a lot of people is that God is speaking to us. You know, we have a tendency to think that God only speaks to certain very, very holy, mystical people, and we're not that. Or, you know, when God, if God is speaking to us, it's only through that big voice, you know, the Cecil B. DeMille movie voice.
Or, unfortunately, too many people think that God doesn't want to talk to us, he just wants to test us. So we hit these crossroads, and many people have had programmed into them that God is up there, aloof, like Zeus.
Standing there with a clipboard.
And saying, okay, this is your test. Just, are you going to pick what I want you to do, even though I'm not going to tell you? Or are you going to, what choice are you going to make? And I'll judge you based upon that, which is a total lie from Satan.
Yeah, that's not the way it is at all.
But it can really live in our heads and make us even more confused and frightened about making decisions, especially big decisions in our lives.
Yeah, really hearing God's voice and knowing his will for us is a lot simpler than you think. And we want to help you walk those steps to figure it out. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Two Roads Diverged, as we talk about discernment and making grace-filled decisions. Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, if you're wondering, well, how could some theology help me make better decisions? St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life, having healthier, holier relationships, understanding what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live? And his answer to those questions became what people now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body tells us that God made us to, this is a quote now, become what we are. That's the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person he sees when he looks at us. And God uses every decision we make to help us grow into that person. So when we're facing a big decision, the question we need to ask isn't so much what's the right thing to do, as much as it is, which choice helps me to become even just a little bit more of the person God created me to be. We can find the answer to that question by prayerfully reflecting on which choices lead to greater intimacy, meaningfulness, and virtue in our life. The theology of the body points towards those qualities as the three ingredients of an abundant life.
So let's unpack that a little bit, right? So first, God wants us to lean into meaningfulness so that we can learn to use our gifts to make a positive difference in both our situation and the lives of others. The theology of the body called that self-giving. Second, God wants us to seek deeper intimacy with the people in our lives because we were created for communion in this life and the next. And every decision we make should help us make our relationships healthier, stronger, deeper, holier in some way. And finally, God wants us to lean into virtue so that everything we do helps us become stronger, healthier, holier, more well-integrated people.
By prayerfully reflecting on which choices will lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we get past the question of, what do I feel like doing? And start to discover how God wants us to use all of our choices and opportunities to help us grow closer to him and become the person we were created to be.
So when you're facing a tough choice, you want to look at the options in front of you and prayerfully ask three questions. First, which one gives me the best opportunity to use my gifts to make a positive difference and bless others? Second, which would help me make my relationships healthier, stronger, and holier? And thirdly, which would help me become even a little bit stronger, healthier, or holier myself? And then we pick the road that points that way. And then also keep praying and asking those questions while we're walking that road so God can keep steering us once we're moving. 877-573-7825. And I want to go back to a point in there. You know, you were saying, Lisa, that we need to kind of get past the what's the right thing to do question. And that seems a little silly because, of course, we want to do the right thing. But sometimes when it comes to these decisions, there isn't a quote-unquote right answer in the sense that, you know, it's somehow morally right or wrong to take this job or that job.
You know? I think you just hit on the word, though. Yeah. You know, is it right for me? Is it right for you? All of it, especially when you're talking about marriage or dealing with, you know, aging parents or all of those. Is it right for them? But
who
the
is it
the moral thing does also overshadow that as well. Is it morally right? Well, we need to make the right decision there. So it's a little bit more complicated for people of faith.
Yeah, well, and then getting caught up in the, well, what's the right place to go to dinner? Or what's the right, you know, what's the right decision about what activities the kid should be in? It's not a right or wrong. So asking that question just causes us to spin out. It's the wrong question to ask. The right answer is the response that enables us to be more the people that God is calling us to be by, you know, leaning into those three things: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the throwaways that you just did. I'm going to start with the first one, which is where we should go to dinner. First of all, I know
it's great.
Silly, no, it's not actually, and we just did this a couple of weeks ago. We had some folks that we were at a conference with, and we all wanted to go out to dinner here in Steubenville. And they had little kids with them. So I took a minute, and I prayed about where we should go. And I was able to suddenly remember a restaurant we haven't been to in a long time that is incredibly kid-friendly. Because everybody was tired. The kids. This is a place that has crayons at the table. You know, placemats, a big salad bar, so the kids didn't even have to wait to eat.
Even characters that were, you know.
Right. So we didn't just say, oh, where we go doesn't matter, or we feel like someplace quiet. We knew we had kids with us. I took a minute to pray about it, and suddenly a restaurant that I hadn't thought about in forever came to mind. So it is about that gave us a chance to have a more meaningful conversation with each other. It wasn't intimate in the dark, quiet restaurant way. It was intimate in the everybody's needs were embraced, including the kiddos' needs.
And we enabled us to get to know each other better.
Right. So it, and it gave us all a sense of we can be our virtuous best selves in the situation because we're not trying to trap the kids into, you know, being quiet for another, you know, hour and a half. And there was a great priest at Franciscan who once did a homily on the fact that he prayed before when he was doing a road trip. He prayed before he got off the intersection and asked God which restaurant to send him to in case he would, you know, be there for somebody and be a good witness to somebody. You don't want to tie yourself up in knots waiting to hear his voice. But you do want to just say, based on these three criteria, which is going to be the best choice, Lord? Lead me and guide me. And then take a minute and go with it.
Well, and I'm only going to say this because I talk to a lot of people who are going to struggle with scrupulosity.
Absolutely.
So hearing
really
hearing what you just said,
they
like, oh my, now I'm supposed to pray about whether I go to the Italian restaurant or the Chinese restaurant tonight. And don't make these things apocalyptic. That's
right.
Not the point. Okay. The point is that you know, as we lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue as best we can in all the things that we do, God reveals his plan to us, and he shows us how to discern his will and make the choices that will lead to a more abundant life. So let us help you apply these principles in all those important decisions that you're facing in your life, your relationships. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all the big decisions that we have to make in our life, our relationships, those things where we just don't know quite what to do, what choice to make, where we are worried about doing the right thing or getting it wrong. Lord, help us in all things to know that you love us and that you are leading and guiding us and that you are patient and generous, and that as long as we are bringing those decisions to you and praying about them and really doing our best, that you will continue to lead and guide us even when we get it wrong. But help us to always lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue so that we can use every opportunity you give us to grow into the people you've called us to be, those whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that can glorify you with our lives. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Two Roads Diverged. A little nod to Robert Frost there. And we're talking about discernment and making big decisions. Not sure which path God wants you to take? Let's walk you through the steps to help you get the clarity and confidence you need. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question here that came in from Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana. And she says, my daughter is a junior in college, and she's thinking about changing her major to something with, let's be honest, no clear career path. Gosh, that's like every parent's nightmare. I tried to gently steer her towards something more practical, but I can see her pulling away from me every time I bring it up. Part of me thinks it's my job as her mom to stop her from making a mistake she'll regret. The other part of me wonders if I'm just scared and trying to control something that isn't mine to control anymore. How do I know when to speak up or just to trust God that this is her road to walk? And that's Teresa in Indiana. And Teresa, I'm like taking deep breaths for you, because that is a really scary thing. And all we hear about lately is kids are leaving college with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt and no way to make a living. And so it's not just concern for your child, it's sort of being hammered into us that this is the worst mistake somebody can make too.
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I think that you are correct that you have a role to play. But the way you framed that role, you have two ineffective choices available to you. Right? So when you say, you know, as her mom, you know, is it my job to kind of warn her off of the path that she's on, or is it just my job to step back and let her make her own decisions? I think it's, when, as Christian parents of adult children or young adult children, it's important for us to not impose our will, or for that matter, not impose our will, but rather help our kids begin to discern God's will. So it's a matter of coming alongside your daughter and praying with her. I don't know if you guys have done this before, but you can do it at any stage and just say, hey, listen, you know, I'm sorry if you felt pressured by me. Or unsupported by me. Of course, I love you, and I want the best for you, and you know it's my job to worry about you, so I'm sorry about that. But would you mind, could we just pray about it? Like, you know, I just want you to do what God wants you to do. So let's just pray. Lord, please bless my daughter and help her make the right decisions. Help her to know her heart and to know the plans that you have for fulfilling all the desires of her heart. Amen. Right, you lead her into, and you talk. You know, what do you think God is saying to you? You know, what are the concerns that you have? And what you're asking questions, you're bringing her to God, you're teaching her how to pray about and how to think about things, not just from an emotional place, but from a real kind of big picture place of who's God calling her to be and what are the decisions that enable her to get there. On a practical level, I mean, look, I as a parent of adult kids, I get it, right? I mean, I've been right there with you, and I've had the exact same conversations with our kids that you're talking about having with yours. So, you know, I'm right there. Okay, I totally empathize. I will say that it's perfectly fine to offer our opinions, but at the end of the day, it's really up to God. In fact, I was just seeing an article the other day that was talking about there were three different CEOs of Fortune 500 companies who got degrees in drama. That's what they went to college for.
Yeah.
You know, God writes straight with crooked paths, as the saying goes. And as long as we are bringing the desires of our heart to him and saying, okay, Lord, teach me what to do to satisfy these longings that you've placed on my heart. Show me where to go. We can trust that he's leading us on the path, even if it seems like a strange path or an impractical path. You know, it's you know, we can't just run off and do whatever we want to do. But if we're really being thoughtful and prayerful about our decisions, we've got to trust that God's leading us. And as parents, our job is to really teach our kids to be thoughtful and prayerful about all their decisions and come alongside of them and show them how to do that so that we can trust that God is leading them and we don't have to control their choices or just step back and bite our nails while they make decisions. It's all about helping our kids walk with God and understand his will for their lives. If you want more help on how to do that, I want you to check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discovering God's plan and understanding how he's calling us to certain things or how he wants us to write the next chapter of our lives. It'll give you more principles to kind of work through with your daughter and helping her figure out God's plan for her life. Thanks for the question, Teresa. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And again, the book, The Life God Wants You to Have, available at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break. When we come back, two roads diverged as we continue to talk about discernment and confidently and clearly making big decisions about your life, your relationships, and knowing really what God's calling you to. We'll also be joined by Rachel Isaac, who's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on discernment as well. Stick around for all that when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about discernment on our show titled Two Roads Diverged, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to be here.
So, Rachel, you work with a lot of performers, athletes, executives, folks who are in high-pressure positions who are used to making decisions under pressure, but sometimes even they can get twisted up in all the questions about what's the right thing to do. How do you guide folks in those high-pressure situations to get the clarity they need?
I think that getting stuck on a decision doesn't always necessarily mean that we don't know what to do. Right. It usually means that we don't trust ourselves or God to be able to take the steps that come after making that decision. We like to guide in decision or kind of guise it as though we have a lack of information. Like if we just made the pros and cons list longer, or we asked more, one more person's question or opinion, or we waited a little longer for more clarity, then we'd finally be able to move. But most of the time, we already know. Like, in your gut, we already know what decision to make. But we're afraid of what comes after, so we loop back and we second guess, and then we get mad at our situation, or we get mad at God that we don't have clarity. Making a confident decision doesn't mean not feeling any fear or anxiety. It means that trusting that my intention is to make the best decision that I can in the moment, and that with the strengths that God has created me with and with the grace of God walking with me, I'll be able to navigate the next step and the next step after that. So when I'm working with someone who's stuck in a decision, I really like to encourage them to separate the decision from the outcome. All of time doesn't end when you make this decision. It just is the next step on your path. You keep going. Your life keeps going. And God will continue to guide you when you act. Part of the indecision lives in feeling like God isn't giving us more clarity. But again, chances are you have your answer. So now he's waiting on you to act. he's still there with you, but he needs you to take that step so that he can guide you on the next one and all the steps that come after that. Know that you have strengths intentionally placed inside you that have helped you get to where you are today. Those are the same strengths that you can use to make this decision now, and are the same ones that God will continue to work through to guide you in whatever comes after.
You know, and I, as I'm reflecting on what you're saying, it occurs to me that part of the decision-making process, too, though, is kind of saying, well, all right, you know, if this concern happened as a result of making the decision, how would I respond to that? Or if this issue came up as a result of me making this decision, how would I respond to that? And, you know, so you know, not twisting ourselves up into knots of, oh, what, you know, how do I avoid this problem, or how do I, you know, not, but rather, how would I deal with the things that could come up from this decision or that, so that I'm prepared? And so it's kind of going back to something you've shared with us on the air before. Instead of getting caught up in what if, focus on even if. You know, so I make this decision, and even if this fallout happens, this is how I could manage it. And it also helps to clarify then which of those options available to us gives us the best opportunity for success, even in the worst situation. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And, you know, with that shift from, like, what if this happens, again, in that, when we think about that, we sort of have this picture of, like, again, kind of the world exploding, right? It's like, what if this happens? Boom, life is over, right? But if we make that switch to, even if this happens, again, there's a future there. There are steps that I can take. There's more opportunity and potential, right? And it also reminds us of the strengths that we have to be able to continue to navigate whatever that what if or even if situation is.
Great insights, Rachel. Thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac and her work at CatholicCounselors.com, particularly in the faith-based program in performance excellence, go to CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls right now about discernment, 877-573-7825.
What is the life of our heart? The Catholic Catechism answers, prayer is the life of the new heart. It ought to be the source of our animation at every moment, but we tend to forget the one who is our all. The fathers of the spiritual life in the Deuteronomic and prophetic tradition say that prayer is a remembrance of God often awakened by the memory of the heart. We are to remember God more often, says the Catechism, than we draw breath. We cannot, however, pray at all times if we have not learned to pray at specific times. The tradition of the Church proposes morning and evening prayer, grace before and after meals, the liturgy of the hours, Sundays centered on the Eucharist, the cycle of the liturgical year with its great feasts as the basic rhythms of the Christian's life of prayer. There are three major expressions of prayer: vocal, meditative, and contemplative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever catch yourself praying for courage, but then staying exactly where you are? Well, you're not alone. A lot of faithful people know, more or less, what God is asking them to do, but they can't seem to get past the fear that stands in the way. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that the cure for that fear isn't more willpower. It's learning to recognize the ways God's power is already working in you, through you, and for you in every moment. When fear has you frozen, don't try to argue yourself into being brave. Instead, bring the fear to God and pray, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Teach me. I'm willing to learn. Then take the first small step. That one step changes everything because it moves you from reacting in your fear to responding to God's call. For more tips on overcoming fear and anxiety and building real confidence, see my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, two roads diverged. We're talking about discernment and making decisions, especially important decisions in your life, in your relationships. And sometimes we just don't know what to do about a problem we're having with somebody we care about an opportunity that's come up, a problem we have to face. And we can get twisted up trying to figure out, you know, what the right thing to do is or what God is calling us to do. Let us help you get the clarity and confidence you need by walking through the steps of good discernment. 877-573-7825.
Greg, a question came in from Brian, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. He says, I've been offered a promotion that would mean more money and more responsibility, but also a lot more time away from my family. On paper, it's obvious, yes. My wife says she'll support me in whatever I choose, which somehow is making it harder because now the whole thing is on me. I keep making pro and con lists, and I am praying about it, but I never feel any peace one way or the other. Just this hum of dread that I'm going to pick the wrong one and regret it for years. How do I make a decision this big when I can't shake the feeling that there's one right answer and I'm one wrong move away from missing it? And that's Brian in Ohio.
Brian, thank you so much for the question. So, a couple of things. It's important to realize, right, that two things. One, when we walk the process of discernment, you know, then it's really it's not about getting the answer right. Okay, it's about using what we're going through to draw closer to God. And if we are continuing to draw closer to God through the decisions that we're making and the things we're doing, God will also gently guide us, even if we make the wrong decision. I like to talk about God's I call it GPS, God's positioning system, right? And if you imagine, you know, if you're in the car, you got your GPS working, you make the wrong turn. I was driving back home from Pittsburgh last night, and there's a big arts festival downtown, and also there was a Pirates game going on at the same time. And every road was closed, or every road had, like, tons of traffic on it, and I didn't know where I was going. but I messed up. I made a couple of wrong turns. Every single time, though, the GPS was like, you know,
Do this next thing.
And I got home. Amazing. Well, the same thing is true when we approach decisions not based on what the right thing to do is or how do I avoid the wrong thing, but rather how do I walk the process that lets me draw closer to God while I make this decision? Because if that's what I'm doing, God recognizes my effort and he looks lovingly at me and uses that closeness to continue to lead and guide me, even if I make the wrong choice. So there's no thing that God can't get us back from. You know, like again, going back to the GPS, the God positioning system. If I make I could miss the exit and be entirely in the wrong part of town. But God sees a way for me to make that left and that right and get me right back on the road that I need to be on. The most important thing isn't getting the right answer. It's drawing closer to the Lord while you make that decision and asking for his guidance and then doing the best that you can. I'll talk more specifically about making that decision, but I just wanted to set that context first.
I'm going to throw in here, you can't let your wife off the hook that way. And this isn't what you want for dinner, you know, where you're like, oh, what are we going to order out tonight? You know, do you want, you know, Chinese food, Italian food, something from the what do you want? Oh, I don't really care. I'm not, you know, particularly hungry tonight. This happens to us all the time. I'm never that hungry. You decide. That's fine if I do that with a restaurant call, because I can always find something on the menu I want once he decides what he wants. This is huge. This is something that, as you said, will take you away from your family. This will directly affect her and directly affect your children. So she might be willing to support you in the end decision, but she needs to be praying with you every single day so that you can both make this decision together, because you want this to lead you into more intimacy. Maybe that's why God's giving you this big decision, because you guys are not praying together about this. But if you start praying actively every day and bringing all those concerns in your prayer to God in a conversational way, not just, okay, well, we're going to do a Hail Mary every day for this, but really saying, hey, Lord, we're together, maybe even holding hands. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need time with my family. They need time with me. I need to be here while my kids are growing up. I need to be here to support my wife emotionally and with practical things. But this job will give us much more of a nest egg. It will help me provide better for my family. It will take pressure off of us. Here are my concerns. Here are my desires. And then your wife does the same. You know, this, Lord, this is what I really need from our marriage and family life. But this would be helpful in this way. And then you say that Hail Mary or that formal prayer, and you listen together and you talk more and you keep doing that together in the time you have before you have to make this decision.
Yeah, because that formal prayer kind of creates that spiritual space for us mm-hmm. to be able to listen to God speaking to us through that. There are two things I want to add to what you're saying, kind of, and you're really pointing to this. Number one, it's not about taking the job or not taking the job. It's about making the choice that leads to more of the life, the family life, for example, that God's calling you to. You know, what do you feel is the marriage and family life that God is calling you to, and what job choices facilitate that life? Because you can have the most satisfying job in the world, and if your marriage and family life is falling apart, it's not going to be rewarding.
You can make zillions of dollars, and if your marriage and family life are falling apart,
not to say you shouldn't take the job. I mean, maybe it works for you in other ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be that you're traveling more, but when you're home, you're able to really do a lot with your wife and your kids because you have more financial space, and you can gear down and really focus.
But that's the question to ask.
Yes.
Right? You know, what kind of marriage and family life is God calling us to, and what choice facilitates that? The other thing that I want you to kind of look at is, it might be that God's not asking you to choose this job or between this job and taking it and not taking it. It could be that he's bringing this up to your attention because there's something else he wants you to do that would bring together all the desires of your heart. I mean, I found that many times in my own life where I'll go to God and like, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. Should I do this or should I do that? And he doesn't really want me to do either thing. He's got something else entirely in mind. But I discover that by saying, on the one hand, Lord, this choice would meet these needs. But on the other hand, Lord, this other choice would meet these needs. And I don't know which are more important. Help me to find the answer that will meet all of these needs that you've placed on my heart. And then all of a sudden, the decision isn't about doing this, isn't this sort of catastrophic, do this or don't do that. It's, where are you leading me, Lord? Show me how to put it all together. And either he will show you which of the options you have available to you right now that will do that, or he'll say, no, there's something else I have in mind for you. And he'll walk you toward that. But it opens up possibilities and makes you feel less like you're passing a test.
Yeah, and so the key to this is making sure that you don't just let your wife go, you decide, honey, and walk away. That you're both actively praying together out loud and discussing this on a daily basis. And because this is a promotion, I'm assuming it's time sensitive. You're going to have to let them know whether you're taking it or not soon. So just let her know, hey, honey, tonight when I get home from work, we need to start praying about this together, because I'm not going to make a decision this huge for our family unless I have you, because you're my prayer partner, you're my spiritual partner, and I want to be able to do this together.
So two resources to help build on this. Number one, you don't have to remember all this. Download the podcast
And can even pray it, play it for her so that she knows you haven't gone off your rocker and anything.
Listen to the call together and really talk about what we're sharing and how you might move forward with it. Now, the other thing is a lot of couples really aren't taught how to pray together the way we're talking about. And we've given you some basic tips on what that should look like. But if you want more support, both in making this decision and future decisions together as a couple, check out our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It looks really at how we can bring God into every part of our marriage and how we can really discern what he's calling us to as a couple and as a family. And it walks you through very practical steps, lots of practical examples. The feedback we get is that it's really changed a lot of lives and really brought couples to a new place with God and with each other. So check it out, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for the question, Brian. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. With that, it's time for our break and our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 32, verse 8.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And I love this scripture because it goes exactly back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. Our God, the Holy Trinity that created us, redeems us, and loves us, and walks with us every day, is not Zeus. He's not up there. God is not distant. He's not judging us. He's not testing us every 2 minutes. This is a God who tells us in the Psalms, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. He's not talking about just the commandments that gives us a guide. He's talking about when you talk to him and you consult him and you work for his love and glory, he will be the one to guide us. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Not the whole human race, you, because he loves you, his beautiful and wonderful creation.
Amen. God wants to talk to you. He is talking to you. It's all a matter of tuning in our antenna by leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in everything that we do. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Two Roads Diverged, as we talk about discernment and making graceful decisions. Not sure what path God wants you to take? Let us help you discover ways to get the clarity and confidence you need. When More to Life continues with your questions coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Two Roads Diverged, as we talk about making big decisions confidently. How do we discern what the right thing to do is, or what God is calling us to? 877-573-7825.
We got a question that came in on questions at radio, at moretoliferadio.com, but I'm going to ask you to read this one, Greg, because it's in white lettering against a black background, and I am having the hardest time seeing it on my screen.
No worries. So it says, hello, and thank you for your advice. My situation is that 2 years ago, my husband was laid off, and since then, he's been drinking almost every day. Mm-hmm. Our two sons, 19 and 23, are witnessing that he's destroying himself. And, of course, he can't look for a job because he wakes up late. Our Lord provided me with a good job, but I don't want things to be like this. His response is to avoid issues, to be angry, to accuse me of drinking as well, but I pay the rent, and I'm responsible. How can a Catholic woman respond to this? I've been in counseling, and I love my husband, but I can't live with him like this because this is not the man I married. She goes on to share some other details that we don't need to get into, but it helps provide some context for me. Thank you so much for the question. And so let's talk about this. You know, meaningfulness, intimacy, virtue. Let's focus on the intimacy part of this. Intimacy doesn't just mean being more and more vulnerable to somebody, especially if they're unsafe or they're hurtful in some way.
Well, and also to go in this particular case, if I might jump in, if they're not at least trying to actively live a virtuous life. And at this point, your husband sounds like it's gotten to the point where he's living for the effects of alcohol rather than trying to live virtuously.
Well, yeah, and addictions are, spiritually speaking, a kind of idolatry. You know, we put the addiction on the altar in our home where God should be. And not only does the addict worship the addiction, the addict forces everybody else to at least tiptoe around that altar, if not worship it too, by facilitating the decisions that the addict is making. So when we talk about applying, you know, we lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in our decision making. Meaningfulness, again, remember, means how do I use my gifts to make a positive difference in my situation and to work for the good of the people around me? Intimacy, how do I make my relationships healthier and stronger? Virtue, what choices do I need to make that would challenge me to be a healthier, stronger, holier person? So let's look at that. All three of those things point to needing to set limits with your husband and boundaries with your husband and clarify the choice that he needs to make. That he needs to decide whether to get healthy or to continue to be able to live in your home. Now, that's terrifying because, and you might say, well it says, what if, isn't that threatening the marriage? It's a bit like asking a doctor if, you know, let's say you have a broken leg that's healed improperly, and he wants to break the leg again to fix it. You know, it's a bit like saying, well, wait a minute, you're a doctor, you shouldn't want to break that leg. You know, sometimes you have to break it to fix it. And what's happened here is the relationship has healed around an unhealthy thing. When I say healed, I don't mean that it's good. I mean that there's a status quo that's been maintained around this idol of alcohol that your husband's been worshiping since he lost his job. And because of that, you have to challenge him directly on this. We have to break this in order to fix it. Or at least risk breaking it in order to fix it.
Well, and lead him, when we say fix it, lead him toward being free from it so that he can make meaningful, intimate, virtuous decisions in his life. And the first virtuous decision, the first meaningful decision he really needs to be making is, okay, I started drinking because it made me feel a little bit better than the depression or anxiety I was having when I lost my job, and I liked the way that felt, and I started worshiping the way that felt, and then I had to keep drinking more to feel that way, and now I realize that this has gotten me to in a spiral where I'm not able to live a meaningful, intimate, or joyful life, or virtuous life, and I've got to start taking the steps to change that. And that's going to require help.
And marriage exists to challenge and to heal the ways that sin makes it difficult for us to love the way God wants us to. So if I am making choices that are destructive and that are opposed to living the way God wants me to or loving the way God wants me to, it's Lisa's job to call me on that. Now, I might not like that, but God gave her to me to help me stay on the path, right? To make healthy and holy choices. And so she has to risk my frustration, my disappointment, the possibility that I might walk away. She has to risk that to love me, to invite me to be that healthier, holier, godlier man. That's what marriage is all about. And we don't preserve marriage by not doing the work that marriage asks us to do. That's like being given a hammer and putting it up on the spotlight in the middle of the living room instead of building your house with it. You know, we need to do the work that marriage asks us to do and trust that God will work through the grace of the work that we're doing to live the sacrament to bring about what he wants to bring about. And so your job here is to work with your counselor. You said you've been talking with somebody. I want you to talk with your counselor about what kind of boundaries do you need to set with your husband to let him know that he cannot continue to behave as he is and be in your home, that he has to choose who he is going to serve. Is he going to serve the Lord, and is he going to serve your family, or is he going to serve booze?
Now, again, he is going to need help. So the way he's going to need to choose that is to get into a good 12-step program and to get into counseling and have people to be accountable to and who are going to help him through getting through the toxicity of this, starting to make better choices, and starting to rebuild a life that functions both in your family life and in providing and taking care of himself in his own life.
But if he refuses to do that, it's your right to say, I am not willing to build a household around the altar of alcohol. And I'm not willing to stand by while you worship alcohol and force the rest of us to do it as well. And again, what I mean by worship it, I mean you live your whole life around it.
Yeah.
It
dictates everything. Which is what he's doing. He's not getting up on time. He's not looking for a job. He's not relating to the rest of you.
And all the rest of you are tiptoeing around that mm-hmm. and trying to maintain the status quo because you don't want to rock the boat. But that basically is worshiping what he's placed on the altar, the addiction that he's got. So work with your counselor to learn how to set better boundaries around this and really clarify the fact that if he can either accept the help that he needs or he can't continue to live there, that has to be the choice. And I want to thank you for the question. If there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. And again, you know, when it comes to making these decisions, number one, you know, some of the basic stuff is we want to make sure that we're praying about it and we're trying to lead a holy life.
And I have to say, when we are trying to do this, we can't live a virtuous life without God. So if meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue are the three guideposts, we can't open the door to any of that without talking to God and letting the Holy Spirit into our hearts.
Amen. The second thing, of course, is God will never ask us to do anything that is contrary to the commandments, the teaching of the church. Why? Is it because God's so in love with rules? No, it's because the teachings of the church and the commandments, they're the result of a 4,000-year-old conversation that God has been having with humankind, right? That's where these things come from. It's not just some guys in pointy hats suddenly decide to make our lives more difficult by saying, do this and don't do that. There's been a 4,000-year-old conversation since Abraham to the present where God has been teaching us, what does it mean to live an abundant life? And the teachings of the church, the commandments, all of it, speak to that conversation. They help so that we don't have to reinvent that 4,000-year-old conversation in our own lives. So that's number two. And number three, once you've got those things in place, then you start praying about the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test. You know, what choice is going to let me use the gifts and talents God has given me to make a positive difference in my situation and be a blessing to others? What choices are going to help lead me to a healthier, stronger, better relationships, because we were created for communion? And thirdly, which choices are going to challenge me to grow in virtue, to help me be a healthier, holier, stronger person? Because those are the qualities that lead to an abundant life in this world and the next. And as we instead of getting caught up in what's the right choice to make, or what do I feel like doing, or you know, what hoop does God want me to jump through, by prayerfully leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we draw closer to God in all of our decisions, and more confident in the decisions that we're making. Talk more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discerning God's plan and writing that next chapter of your life, especially when things haven't gone according to plan. Check it out, The Life God Wants You to Have. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. And while you're there, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Catholic telecounseling practice. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember, with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.